75% of Americans believe in UFOs. 30% of Americans believe UFOs are vehicles from other worlds. And 3% of Americans believe they have been abducted by aliens. That's over 8 million people. They're out there, aren't they?
Welcome to the UFO Files Show with your host, Jerry Pippin.
We have probably the most important show we've done. If you're interested in UFO disclosure and the U.S. government coming clean on UFOs, hello, everyone. I'm Jerry Pippin. Stephen Bassett is our guest. He's on the line from Washington, D.C., where he has spent most of his life dealing with the politicians on the subjects of UFOs and disclosure. With the presidential campaign grinding to a halt, it's very interesting that Stephen has come up with an idea that I think will work. In fact, I urge you to listen. If you're interested at all in UFOs, this will be an incredible show, and it is our opening, the way to open the door to official U.S. government acknowledgement of UFOs. Let's get right to the show. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Jerry, and it's always good to be with you.
You've got some important information we want to discuss here in a minute, but first of all, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention you're going to be at that Culture of Contact gathering in New Jersey this weekend.
Yeah, Jeremy Vanney's conference, I think second one, might be the third one. They're holding it out in Jersey City, New Jersey, which is just across the river from Manhattan. At the it's like a famous theater, the Lowe's Theater there is quite nice.
Yeah, that's what I understand. And they have an interesting little museum. It goes over at Hoboken at the same time.
Right, that's going simultaneously because they got a lot of artists, a lot of contactee artists they're working with. And that's, again, the weekend of the 17th, 18th, 19th. And I believe the website is cultureofcontact.com.
Yeah, we have a link to it. Yeah. And so people can go look at it and see what's happening. Our own Farrah Yudusi will be there. And she'll be covering it, that event for us. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she'll be talking to you while you're there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So tell me, what's happening here with you? And you've got this this thing that came about around the 1st of October, I think.
I've launched the most important project of Paradigm Research Group's history since I started in 96. Timing is everything. In activism,
I've heard that before.
Yeah, it is. It's really tough. You got to do the right thing at the right time to if you want to get something done. And this situation is rather special and extraordinary in a lot of ways. The upshot is this: we've had a truth embargo in place since essentially 47, though it really wasn't formalized until 52. Where the government has denied that there is a extraterrestrial presence, or refused to acknowledge it, certainly. And they did it for various reasons. National security, certainly, was the principal reason in the early years. The Cold War was a real problem that it made it difficult to get a consensus within government to proceed, concerned that it might destabilize an already dangerous situation. Understandable. But the Cold War ended in 91. And since then, the truth embargo, the formalized program by the government to not acknowledge the ET issue and to undermine, to what extent possible, the public's effort to get to the bottom of it, has been slowly eroding to the point where now it's just really running on momentum. I mean, I don't even think they're putting much energy into it, and it's going to end pretty soon. But there's no guarantee, and while I believe that the Democratic Party at the think tank level has already made a decision to go ahead with disclosure.
Really?
Based on certain indications I've seen, there's no guarantee that they won't change their mind or their feet won't turn to clay. The Republican Party, I think, I don't know nearly enough about in terms of what they may or may not want to do, but both parties are under tremendous pressure to end this truth embargo and announce the ET presence. From a number of sources, but the most significant one from their perspective is other nations. Other nations have known about the ET presence as well, going back to the 40s, particularly the first world countries allied with us. But I would also throw in certainly the Soviet Union. I'm not sure about China. I think China knows now, but I don't know about China back in the 40s, because China was a much less formed country at that point. It was under a great deal of pressure. So in any event, the Soviet Union and China, Communist China, did not break ranks on this issue for very logical reasons. They simply could not. They were controlled ideological states. They simply could not risk the kind of impact on their ideological control mechanisms that announcing an ET presence. They controlled their people by making them utterly subservient to ideology as represented by the leaders, and total fidelity to the state and fear of the state was critical. Having the people learn that, well, there are other civilizations out there that could give a whit about who Mao Zedong is or who Karl Marx is and have technology far surpassing anything those countries have, would have undermined their ideological control. So there was no way they were going to do it. The First World Western nations, particularly the NATO nations, went along with the U.S. because they owed us big time for helping to certainly win World War II and, of course, bearing the brunt of the cost of and the defense against the potential nuclear threat of the Soviet Union. So they deferred to us and remained so until after the Cold War, and then the alliance, I guess, sort of unspoken alliance to keep this embargo going until the U.S. was ready to end it, it began to fray. In the last few years, there have been a number of indications that other countries are ready to break ranks. The United Kingdom has been releasing thousands of classified reports and citing reports as well as studies they've done. There's no need for them to do that. They're doing it to send the U.S. a message. The French government's doing the same thing, having also instituted a governmental report called the Cometa Report in 2000, which concluded that ETs were the likely explanation for this phenomenon, and also chastised the U.S. for dragging its feet. Mexico has the Mexican Air Force has formally cooperated with UFO researchers, as has the Brazilian Air Force, which would have required approval by the Brazilian Ministers of Defense as well as Brazilian presidents. China is encouraging UFO research, and we believe even supporting it with state money. They just launched their first space crew.
Yeah,
into space.
That's true. They did.
The European Union, of course, has a space program and has currently got craft around Mars. If they should encounter anything out there that would confirm an extraterrestrial hypothesis, it's less and less likely that they would sit on it. So the U.S. is under tremendous pressure. If it does not act on a disclosure, and another country is going to do it, and we will be essentially kind of out of the picture, irrelevant. Worse, as the thing spreads from country to country, the U.S. will be essentially dragged kicking and screaming into the new paradigm against its will, saying, okay, I guess you got me, you all told, spilled the beans, I guess we'll have to say, you know, yeah, okay, we knew. It just looks awful for us. We're already losing enormous clout around the world. We're losing political standing, economic standing. Our military has been stressed and strained.
Yeah, that's true. Even we could not take the lead in the banking situation. We changed our mind from what Europe decided they wanted to do, invest in banks, and then all of a sudden we decided to do that. So we're not even leading in that area.
One could make that case, but one can certainly make the case that a good deal of this financial crisis is laid at the feet of the United States, which has simply conducted its financial policies poorly. And being a major economic make a mistake like that.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that at all.
Global implications. So to have the ET disclosure legacy go to another country would be just one more massive blow to the United States' support in the 21st century. Now, again, it doesn't matter to me, frankly, who discloses this. We have to disclose this ET truth. I mean, the truth about the ET presence. We cannot advance as a civilization until this gets done. But I can appreciate that there are benefits to the United States if it leads And I think it would be helpful to the globe, because I think in general, the United States reclaiming some appropriate global standing would be very helpful in us to provide leadership, hopefully in the right directions. If we lose all our leadership ability, then, well, we're not taking anybody anywhere, and somebody else will lead. I still think we have the potential to be a very powerful force for good in the world, though some serious reforms are needed. If we lose that legacy, we will have lost a huge opportunity. So I prefer, if you said, well, which country, if you had a preference, I see some benefits for everyone involved if the U.S. does this, particularly because it would be the first step in reversing this extraordinary trend of the last 35 years where the fundamental trust in government by the American people has just plunged to absurdly low levels. And the only way to turn that around is to start talking some serious truth. And that would be a big one and could get things going in the right direction, might lead to other revelations and some candid behavior on the part of the government. So there's a lot at stake here, and both parties know this. So consequently, I think the window of opportunity for the has opened the widest since 1947 for this issue to finally, at least on the first level, be resolved, because we have a new president coming in, both presidential candidates crying change, change, change. We clearly have a people that want to start over, want to start afresh, want to start a new era. We've had a previous administration of great secrecy, great mendacity. And so a new administration comes in with almost a mandate to get in the truth business. And more importantly, the new administration, if it does not disclose quickly, then the truth embargo very soon enough becomes their truth embargo. And then they have the public relations problem of explaining to people why they didn't tell them right away, why they waited a year, 2 years, whatever. Whereas if they move quickly in the early months of the administration, then it's all upside for them and almost no downside. They can say, previous administrations didn't tell you, we will. We now know this, we can do this, it's now time. And people say, wonderful, and not be upset that, well, why didn't you told us the first opportunity you had. In the case of the Democrats, Barack Obama is almost certainly an innocent on this issue. And so if a disclosure event takes place, he will be protected against the obvious questions. Did you know about this before you were president? No, I did not. John McCain would have a little more of a problem there. I think McCain has got too many connections in the military and the intelligence community and has been in D.C. so long that I think he knows there's an E.T. presence if he hasn't been told straight up. And so if he's the disclosure president, it's going to be much harder. He's going to have a lot tougher questions to answer about his decisions to go along with the truth embargo. And plus, the Republican Party would be, again, in power again, and there would be a carryover. People would want to know why the Republican Party has sat on this so many years, and now they're telling us. So either way, I think we have to have disclosure, but it's going to be a lot easier, public relations-wise, if the Democrats do it. So there's the setting.
Okay, we got to the setting, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we're going to explore this in more detail. And I want to ask you about our friend Grant Cameron. He surprised me recently when he said he thought that John McCain might be the better deal for disclosure. I kind of agree with just what you said, which is kind of totally opposite, and Grant usually is right on. We'll be right back. I'm Jerry Pippin.
Why visit the Grand Canyon in Arizona? Marv Mason knows why.
Mainly because the Grand Canyon is known as one of the seven natural wonders of the world.
No one gives a more personalized tour or knows more about the Grand Canyon than Marvelous Marv.
My main thing is education on the geology, because the Grand Canyon is a life record. It shows us where we were at one time on the planet with the continental drift and all the layers that were laid down by sediments, and then how the canyon was carved. And, of course, the views, you know, a picture doesn't do it justice. But it's nice to have somebody there tell you about it that's lived there.
It's the best way to tour the Grand Canyon. Marv picks you up in a modern van at your hotel in the Grand Canyon area and takes you on a day-long tour. Contact Marvelous Marv Vacation Tours. Call and talk to him personally, 928-707-7000. 1-800-273-0291 or visit his website.
MarvelousMarv.com. Real easy, real easy.
Stephen Bassett, tell us about your website real quick, and then we'll get back to the question about
the main website has always been is ParadigmResearchGroup.org.
Right.
It's the portal to all the web sites, I guess you could say. There's more than one website, but ParadigmResearchGroup.org is the main portal. PRG is the main site. And the site for the project, which just is launched, is factsonwashington.org.
And
factsonwashington.org.
Okay. We have a link to that, and we'll get to that in a minute, what's on that website and why people need to go there. I kind of agree with what I think you were saying, that Barack Obama basically has not been in power long enough to be tainted. You know, he would be more or less innocent or naive about it, so he could easily, his administration could easily reveal things.
Well, taint's not the word I would use. Again, he's an innocent. He can rightfully say, I did not know about this.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know about this information until I became president and was briefed. And I have made the decision in cooperation with military and intelligence managers that it's appropriate now to tell the American people this. And so we've arranged for that to happen. And all that can be said of him is, thank you.
Yeah.
Right, no problem.
Now Grant Cameron was pushing Hillary Clinton. He thought due to the Rockefeller Initiative and things like that and her interest in UFOs, that she'd be ideal. I don't know if you agree with him on that one or not.
Actually, it's very complicated. I wrote an article which got a reasonable amount of attention called the ET Ticket, and I simply said that looking at all of the candidates, the best ticket disclosure-wise was, with respect to disclosure, was Hillary Clinton and Bill Richardson.
Yeah.
Which wasn't to say that necessarily they would be the best ticket to run the country.
Yeah, I understand.
Though that may be.
You were basically Bill Richardson's governor in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
That's where all this action, a lot of it is.
Yeah, and he wrote some comments that were quite revealing, which I think were intentional, for a book about the Roswell digs called The Roswell Dig Diaries. And he essentially said that the Roswell explanation by the government didn't hold water, which it doesn't. And that was quite interesting. And then, of course, Hillary was involved in the Rockefeller Initiative, and we know that, and we have the documents on it. I was trying to promote her connection to the issue because we wanted to get questions asked of her. But clearly they had, in terms of the ticket, the most connection to the ET issue and certainly disclosure. However, that said, and again, this is so complicated, as a disclosure president, Hillary would have had a lot of public relations problems. Less so Richardson, but he'd been the vice president. Because since she was actually aware of and involved somewhat in the Rockefeller Initiative from 93 to 96, and then has been utterly silent on it since, never said anything, a lot of people would want to know, well, what was going on back then? And why didn't your husband follow through with that? And why didn't he do something? And what was she going to say? Well, he might have followed through, but it was too many sex scandals, and he just didn't have the political capital. I mean, it's all very untidy. And so, again, she was not only an innocent on the issue, she was a first lady to a president who could have been the disclosure president but chose not to be. So there's some real problems there in terms of the public relations side.
Right, right. She may have had some of the same problems that McCain will have.
Well, worse. No, worse. I mean, we've got the documents that clearly show the Rockefeller Initiative took place and that she was involved. And we've been pushing them out into the media for some time. And that was a big project by PRG, and a lot went into that. A lot of the work behind, of course, is Grant Cameron. But it essentially was shelved when she did not make a ticket. And then we moved on to another project.
What kind of reaction were you getting from the media when every time you kept getting back to UFOs?
Action of the media with respect to
disclosure with Clinton that she knew something.
Well, we got some traction. Some questions were generated during the primaries. One was directed at Kucinich, another was directed at Richardson. One was tossed to Obama. We could never get a question into Hillary Clinton. I published an open letter to Hillary Clinton. I have speculated, and this is hubris, but not too egregious, I've always wondered, because we put out a lot of press releases, and there's more than a few pages on the net about this. And then, of course, at my site, we have the most important of the Rockefeller Initiative documents that were obtained by Grant Cameron under Freedom of Information are right there on the site. I mean, just go read them. I mean, it's obvious what happened. And even the letters that refer to Hillary Clinton. And I've always wondered, is it possible that as that got more exposure, even though the press did not ask her about it, that the superdelegates might have looked at that and said, my God, if we go with her and she's the nominee, it's inevitable that the press, I mean, you see what's going on in the campaign now, right? I mean, there's very little that isn't on the table in terms of how you're going to attack the opponent, right? That inevitably the press and the Republicans are going to come after her on the UFO issue, and it's literally going to be in the campaign. And I just wonder if maybe this effort to try to bring the issue into play could have swayed superdelegates to switch to Obama. No way to know that. I've heard.
Well, I kind of felt that all along. I had mixed emotions. You know, I'm naturally for UFO disclosure and everything, but at the same time, it seemed to be a sword that was going to cut two ways against Hillary.
Perhaps, but clearly the press is not going to explore it. She's not going to talk about it, and the superdelegates wouldn't talk. Again, this is like this is the issue whose name shall not be spoken, though increasingly it is coming up, but again, and not in the political context.
Well, I think maybe you and Grant and a few others had something to do with even the candidates asking about UFOs this time around.
Oh, yeah. No, we certainly helped make that happen, though I think Shirley MacLaine is the one that took the ball over the goal line. And
oh,
she's
yeah.
The one that tripped the question to Kucinich.
No doubt about
when
that.
When she published her book, Aging While Saging.
And of course, some of these people, the pundits, the media, they were playing gotcha with the UFO question as well.
I would have liked that. I mean, we wanted many, many more questions,
yeah.
So it faded out. And so once again, we've had a campaign in which the issue is completely on the side.
I thought Kucinich really chickened out there at all. He had nothing to lose. He should have jumped right in there.
Now, Kucinich's feet have turned to clay on a number of issues. He really underplayed his role as a French candidate. He could have done so much more. I'm very disappointed in Dennis, but he's also done some good things, and he's still in the Congress, and who knows, he may have some impact in the future. But we did the best we could. I wanted a lot more than happened. But nevertheless, we had everything set up for Hillary. If she was on the ticket, and of course she could have been, it didn't matter whether she was the presidential choice or the vice presidential choice.
I interviewed his wife when he was still in the campaign in person in Las Vegas, and the Kucinich people were very, very determined that I shouldn't ask about UFOs.
Oh, yeah. No, it's the true third rail. I mean, the true third rail of American politics is the UFO issue. Social Security, forget it. That's just an old cliche. It hadn't been true for years.
I think his wife believes in UFOs, by the way.
That's very possible. I think Dennis does. Again,
yeah. Yeah.
Again, this whole idea that something of this magnitude cannot be talked, cannot be asked, cannot be discussed, is an insult to our intelligence. It demeans the candidates, demeans the country, and the whole thing has become a joke. It's a fiasco. It needs to end. Which is why we're doing the work we're doing.
Well, you're kind of speaking about politics in general. The whole thing has become a joke. When you try to discuss issues, you don't get them very far.
Yeah. I mean, it's hardly the only issue that's embargoed. Virtually anything of real importance, anything that might upset somebody truly, is embargoed.
That was one of the great things I liked about your campaign there in Congress.
Well, I just said whatever I wanted to. I mean, that's
yeah.
the beauty. In other words, I wanted Dennis to do what I did when I ran. I mean, when you're a third party and you have no chance of winning, you can just say exactly what you believe. And I can tell you, even though I only got 1% of the vote and was up against Chris Van Hollen and Connie Morella, who was an eight-term congresswoman, and Van Hollen was like a rising star. In fact, he has risen quite far since he... Many instances when we were in the forums, the debates, where I got the loudest applause for my response because I simply said what was true and what needed to be said, and they simply had to spin. So, you know, we're going through a very tough political time in America that I think started in the mid-60s and continues 40 years on, and we're not Our politics has gone is poor. The campaigning is a joke. The candidates aren't. We can't really assess the candidates because none of them can say anything meaningful, if they say anything at all. We're getting terrible leadership, bad policies, and the potential is to destroy the country. Now we need to pull out of this.
I agree wholeheartedly.
But in order to do it, the American people are going to have to demand much more of themselves and much more of the people that want to lead them and actually want their votes. But this is ultimately the people's choice, and they will have to decide.
McCain is way down in the polls, 6 to 10 points, according to which poll you go. But he could pull it out, and there's some questions about politics and elections and ballots and all kinds of things I don't want to get into. You're not going to give up hope if McCain gets it even, huh?
Well, McCain is a whole different set of variables. On the plus side, the military intelligence community clearly is concerned, and perhaps rightfully so. Is, though one wonders anymore, given the way things are going, but let's just give them the benefit of the doubt that they're concerned that, of how the post-disclosure period will go. I'm sure when they game it out that there are all kinds of scenarios that are posited with respect to what happens in the months or years after following the disclosure event. What will the people be doing? Will there be disruptions? What are some of the things that might happen? What happens if things happen we didn't even anticipate it, and so forth and so forth? And so they're concerned about that. And one of their concerns would be, do we have a president who we can work with, who understands us, that would respond to our concerns? Now, McCain, because he's military in background, he's the war hero. He's not unfamiliar with the military, and he certainly dealt with the intelligence community. They, even though he's a maverick, supposedly, I think that they would view him as someone they could work with, that he would be responsive to their ideas and views in handling post-disclosure issues that arise. So in that regard, that's a plus for him being a disclosure president. His being a maverick and also being kind of tough and ornery is also potentially a plus, because if there are people inside government who do at the point of decision come up and say, no, we simply can't do this, we cannot disclose the truth to the American people, they can't handle the truth, they're not ready for the truth, and whatever else, McCain is tough enough to stand up to him and say, no, we need to go forward with this. So I'm not going to pack up and go home if McCain wins. I think disclosure is still likely, but I want to make sure. And speaking on behalf of all of the people in disclosure movement, and their numbers are growing all the time, and there's many organizations and many colleagues, and there's links to all of these organizations and colleagues at the main PRG site at ParadigmResearchGroup.org. We need to make sure this happens, and in fact, we have a very straightforward way to do it.
We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what that straightforward way to do it is. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment.
Fate.
Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.
Stephen Bassett is our guest on the line from the Washington, D.C. area.
And you spend a lot of time these days in New York, Stephen. You're going to be up there again this weekend.
Yeah, I've been up a few times to speak at various events. I'm going back up to speak at the Culture of Contact in the 19th of October.
You got any other places that you're going?
Yeah, definitely. I'll be at the speaking at the Crash Retrieval Conference, Ryan Woods Conference in Vegas, November 7, 8, and 9.
Good.
And the website on that is ufoconference.com. So these, man, that'll wrap it up for me for the year. We're hoping, of course, that we'll have our 5th X conference next April 16, 17, 18, 19.
Yeah, what is the latest on that?
Well, it's booked and reserved for the hotel. I am concerned, though, of course, that if the economic situations continue to deteriorate, that it may be very difficult to get people to come, particularly and spend the money, those particularly coming out of coming a distance and flying in and what have you. So we'll just cross our fingers and see. Now, obviously, if disclosure were to take place or major events were to occur, I think that would override, virtually trump any financial reality. So we're planning to have that conference. It's up on the website. You can register now, x-conference.com. Register both the hotel and the conference listing. We have a couple of speakers.
You're going to have it at the same place in Maryland?
Oh, yeah, same hotel, Gaithersburg Hilton, Gaithersburg, Maryland, outside of the Beltway of Washington, D.C. A few speakers have been signed up. I'm not in any hurry. But Jeff Peckman, the activist out of
from
Denver,
who
ended up making it on the David Letterman show, will be there. Art Campbell, who is a researcher, a longtime researcher.
Yeah, I know Art, and we did a show with the Eisenhower story.
Right.
And he has live witnesses.
Yes, indeed. Richard Dolan will be there, hopefully talking about the second volume of his trilogy on UFOs in the national security state. And, of course, it'll be hosted by Cheryl Jones. But, again, there's another 16 or so people that are going to have to be signed up over the next couple months, so I'll be working on that.
I'm sure we'll be talking to you about that. Let's talk right now about what you really got planned here. What's your plan?
This is the big deal. October 31st, we launched the Million Facts on Washington. And the concept is really quite simple. We want to get 1 million letters primarily, which are the superior way. If you want to get a politician's attention, you send them a letter, handwritten, a couple of paragraphs, just make your point, sign it, put an address and phone number if you really want to impress them. But if you can't do that, you can fax. But you know, there's only so many faxes the machines can handle a day, and sometimes it's hard to get through, but fax is fine. And then email is better than nothing. But emails don't have nearly the impact that you might think, and you can delete them. You can delete hundreds of thousands of emails in a couple of minutes. So, you know, if someone wants to send all three, that's great, but a letter is the key. To promote the idea of people sending a letter, fax or email, to the president-elect starting November the 5th, the day after the election, assuming we know, let's hope we do. And this letter would be to incite the president, the new president, to three key things we're looking for in the letter to be noted. One is to demand a full briefing on the UFOET subject from the military intelligence and simply fire anybody that won't tell you. In other words, they say, look, you don't have a need to know, you're fired. Mr. President, I'm sorry, but you don't have classification, you're fired. Until you finally get somebody that says, okay, right? He needs to get everything. He needs to know it all. Secondly, to press for the Congress to hold hearings for the witnesses that are coming forward to get their testimony and record in front of the public. And third, to simply disclose the ET presence, which the people inside the military intelligence community could confirm to him quite easily. So this is the idea, is to get people to take a few minutes in October and write up a few paragraphs. Nothing, it doesn't have to be huge. Long is not better. Just getting the point across is all you need. It just doesn't help to make it five pages. Half a page, three paragraphs, make the point. That's it. It's the number. It's the quantity that really has the impact. To put those words down and put a stamp on an envelope and just put it aside, and then on November the 5th, when you know who the president is, quickly address it, mail it. This is not a big investment. It's 42 cents in 15, 20 minutes of time. If they do, and we can front load a substantial number of correspondences into the president-elect's office, which, as it happens, will be their senatorial office, They'll still be senators through the end of the year. And so right after the election, their senatorial office is where you would send correspondence. This is not going to the White House. It's not going to the current president. It's going to the president-elect, their senatorial office. And if we do that, the press, I will work on my end to make sure the press knows this is coming. And they'll be down there looking for this mail. And if it's turning up, you'll be getting photographs of all these bags of mail, and they'll open them, and they'll be passed around, and some of them will be printed up. One of the cool things about this is that when a campaign is over and a president's elected, a lot of people send money to the campaign contributions into the president, into the party. So every single letter gets opened because any one of them could have money in them.
I hadn't thought about that.
That's true. And so this will create quite a stir, and the media will write it up, and then that media coverage will be used to continue to promote the concept through November and December and keep the correspondences coming, so we could hit our goal as 1 million.
Between
November the 5th and inauguration.
Yeah, conceivably, maybe I'm even a little too conservative on this, which is hard to believe that I'm conservative on anything, but there's 70, 77, 5, 78, maybe 80 million people who really believe UFOs for sure, and probably twice that many that are open to it. So, you see statistics, 70% of the population, 300 million, that would be over 200 million.
Actually, I have a pretty good handle on the numbers based on the polling.
Good.
Let me just give you the breakdown.
Fill me in.
Yeah, these are fairly close numbers. I mean, I'm not just pulling these out of the air. There are 225 million Americans that are age of 18 and older in the United States. According to the Roper 2002 poll, 56% or 126 million believe UFOs are real. 80% in the Gallup 1997 poll, or 180 million people, believe the government is hiding the truth about it. And in the Roper 2002 poll, 14%, 31 million, said that they have had or know someone who's had a close encounter of the first, second, or third kind. These are huge numbers.
And so, we just took the 31 million.
Yeah.
And they wrote a letter.
Yeah, again, our goal is 1 million. I can assure you that that's more than enough. There's a formula that they apply in this town. I don't know currently what the number is, but I can.
What did it used to be?
Well, I don't know. I know there's a formula, and I know it's a multiple. And what I mean by that is, if they get a letter,
It means so much. Just like
it really represents X number of people.
We do that in broadcasting.
20 too. Times 30. I don't know, but a million letters would correspond to 15, 20, 30, 40 million people,
mm-hmm.
and that's huge and it's massive. But to put this in perspective, in 1976, Jimmy Carter, who was a truthful but somewhat naive gentleman, ran for president and didn't think twice about mentioning at one point or another that he'd had a sighting, a fairly strong sighting in 69 that he had actually reported to the International UFO Bureau, I think was the name, in 1973. And so obviously the interest in UFOs has always been high in America, going all the way back to the 50s. So he was asked about it, and then he was asked, well, would you release all the information in the government's hands if you became president? And he said yes. Well, as a result of that, he got about 10,000 letters that came into the White House, and he had to assign people to handle them, which is, because even 10,000 is a pretty big number.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of those letters you can actually read in a book called UFO Politics at the White House.
Larry Bryant.
And I recommend people get that book from Amazon or bookstore or whatever.
Yeah.
And you can see how serious they were, and some of them were quite long, in-depth, but nevertheless, there were 10,000 letters. And as a result of this, again, Mr. Carter knew how naive he was, but he actually initiated a study on extraterrestrial phenomena in the very first months in the White House. And oddly enough, coincidentally enough, at the very same time, his administration was approached by Alfred Weber, who was working at the Stanford Research Institute, and he wanted to do a study, and obviously, since they were already started one, they said, fine, do that too. Well, the fact is that the military intelligence community was in no way going to allow disclosure to take place in 1977. I think, though I cannot prove, that there was a pretty firm policy that until the Cold War was over, there would be no extraterrestrial disclosure, period. So here Jimmy Carter has started this up in 1977, and that wasn't going to fly. Well, they were able to, the Department of Defense closed down the SRI study immediately. That never went anywhere. The presidential study was a little tougher. I mean, you can't totally tell a president to pound sand, but they went passive-aggressive. They wouldn't cooperate. The CIA, which was at the time run by George Bush, would not cooperate. NASA wouldn't cooperate. The military was particularly cooperative. And so it got shuttled over to the, I think, the House Science and Technology section, and the thing was just sort of given some lip service and allowed to die a natural death without anything happening. Though Marcia Smith, a dedicated public servant, civil servant, did write a well-meaning conclusion to the study called UFO Enigma that has some value, but nothing, it wasn't promoted, nothing was going to come of it. This was just saving face, right? And that was 1977. Now, it's 31 years later. The embargo is still in place. Other nations are breaking ranks. There's ETs all over the place. The evidence is piled up to the ceiling, and we've got witnesses pouring out like crazy. It's time to end this. So I'm saying, look, 10,000 letters in 77 could do that. A million correspondents, it's over. There's just no way that they could pursue this embargo beyond the first couple of months of the next administration. So what it comes down to is this. If the American people could collectively act at this moment, knowing full well that a single letter doesn't accomplish anything, you can send a letter to the White House, who cares, a letter to your congressman, get a stupid response back. I know that. Everybody knows that. Just like one vote doesn't make a lot of difference. But we go and vote because we know that our fellow countrymen are also voting, and the collective actually moves the state forward and changes history many times. And so we're promoting this extensively and trying to convince people that if they write that note to the president-elect, have it ready, stamped, and then address it on November the 5th and drop it in a box, that they're not going to be alone, that there's going to be hundreds of thousands of others in the country going to do the same thing. And that letter, those letters, the collective of those letters, is going to literally change history and could, I think, result in them knowing the truth, or at least the know that ET presence exists and is here by the spring of next year. Now, that's a hell of a return on your investment. It's a time for them to act collectively. The American people have not been acting collectively enough, which is one of the reasons we're in the trouble we're in.
That's true. You know, if you look back in 1776 when the people were in the streets, I don't think it was all that many. Percentage-wise, in Vietnam, probably less than 2 million demonstrators over the history of the war, but they did make an imprint. And if I'm telling you, if Obama or McCain, either one, get a million letters in their Senate office building, even though they know it's an orchestrated event.
Well, orchestrated, that's not quite true. It is an organized event.
Okay.
Orchestrated, it gets into another area, which I won't go, and that is the scripted letters. Yeah. You see this, where an organization creates a script, right, a template letter, and basically says, everybody just take that, cut and paste it, sign it, and send it in.
You're suggesting people use their own ability and words to write?
Well, yeah, they discount those because they're too easy to fake, to mass generate.
Right.
And there's, you can just sign them, right? You can have the same person just sign tons of them.
So
I won't do that, and it doesn't have the same impact. When they get even 20,000 letters that are lasered on the same issue, and asking for the same thing, that are coming clearly from 20,000 different American citizens, this gets their attention. And this is what you've got to do. So organized, yes. Contrived, no, not at all. And believe me, it will have dramatic impact.
Do you have a suggestion what they put in the letter?
Well, at the website,
I guess they're simpler, a little better.
Factsonwashington.org.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot of information there, but enough to get the point across.
Okay. I think I'm going to start urging everybody to write these letters on every show.
Well, I have been very gratified that all of my media contacts, and I've had many, have been extremely positive about this, which is why I've already done, this is the 25th interview I think I've done. Jerry, I've got 9 more already booked, and I'll probably do 100 by the end of December. I'm getting a tremendous amount of support. People like this idea. They think it'll work. It's not a lot of effort, but yet it could have extraordinary results. But the three key points that I have on the website, factsonwashington.org, that need to be, one or more need to be in any note that's sent to the president-elect, are these. One, the new president should demand and receive a full briefing by his military services and intelligence agencies regarding the extraterrestrial presence and related phenomena. I don't think that's inappropriate. This idea that presidents really don't need to be briefed on matters of great importance because they're elected is crap, and the people that think that way inside the military intelligence community have got to be replaced. Point number two, the new president should support convening congressional hearings to take testimony from scores of former military and agency employees regarding extraterrestrial phenomena. And then the major point, the key point number three, the new president should formally acknowledge to the American people the extraterrestrial presence, which of course would be the disclosure event. And then whatever else they want to throw in there, these are the key points that need to be in these letters. Brief is better, not long. Don't get into long harangues about other stuff. Don't mix it with other issues. Just keep it straight to the point. That's it. This is what we want, and we want it right away.
Stephen Bassett is our guest. We'll be right back, and we're going to wrap this up. We've got another quarter hour to go, and we'll discuss in detail the ramifications of this. I think it's a great idea, Stephen. This could work on a lot of issues, but UFOs, I think, actually has a built-in audience already. You mentioned the stats earlier. A lot of
it
people.
It also has a lot of upside. I mean, there are a lot of issues out there, but it's, you know, some please stop doing this terrible thing.
But this is one that everybody can get behind, regardless if they're Republican, Democrat, conservative, or liberal, I think.
And there is one very significant reason that people need to keep in mind why they should invest this 20 minutes of their time. And that is, we are very much convinced, the most of the people I work with are pretty much convinced, that the United States has been working on understanding the propulsion and energy systems of these vehicles, which they have obtained a number of from crashes and possibly from shooting some down. And they've been working on these technologies in underground facilities, mostly in the West, with unlimited funding for 60 years. And there's evidence they have made considerable progress, including building their own versions of them. And these two technologies, the antigravitic propulsion type technology and the energy technology, which is clearly transcendent, quantum field, subfield, whatever the hell, let me put it this way, it's generating a hell of a lot of power and it's not burning oil or coal, that these technologies could change everything if we could get them into the public arena, if we could use them to address the huge problems we're facing. Dropping the cost of energy would be a massive boost to the economy. It would increase business profits. It would generate tax revenues. It would create new businesses and new developments. It would also provide great relief to the rest of the world, which we would provide by making that technology available, thus dramatically increasing our standing in the world. These techs are not available to us for one reason and one reason only. The government knows and has known that they could not bring these technologies forward without acknowledging the ET presence, and they weren't ready to do that. And so the technologies are hostage to the truth embargo. So anybody that likes the idea of maybe 75 cent a gallon gas again, or maybe heating or air conditioning their home for $5, $6 a month, if they like that idea, they get to write a letter. When this tech is revealed, it won't suddenly be put into use. It will take time to develop because, you know, there may be additional development needed. Of course, we'll have the intellectual resource of the human race to apply and not just a selected group of government scientists primarily dealing with weaponology. It will take some time to restructure our infrastructure to integrate them into the system. In the meantime, we'll continue to use coal and oil and nuclear, but the cost will go down. Knowing where things are going, the cost of oil will drop dramatically. And as a result, we'll see tremendous relief pretty quickly. This is just a short distance away if you can simply write a letter to the president. That technology simply cannot be sequestered. There is no justifiable reason to do it. I don't care. I've never heard anything. It'll be weaponized. So what? That risk is true of every tech we have. Right? You have to control it. You have to be prudent. You have to make sure that it's not misused. But the idea that, what, millions are going to starve and we're going to have wars over oil because you're afraid somebody will weaponize? Well, it's being weaponized. In fact, we may very well have some kind of a very concern that we have a ET technology hidden weapons race going on. If there are other nations that have crash vehicles, it's possible that they're trying to weaponize this technology. But this is a weapons race unlike the last one we had, the nuclear arms race. Well, we don't even know what's going on, thanks to the truth embargo. This is all bad. I mean, this is all a recipe for catastrophe. The founding fathers, if they knew this was going on, would retch. I mean, they would all get together, collectively retch. This isn't America. This isn't what we're about. This isn't what the American people should be expecting. The secret empire is out of control, needs to be reformed and pared back. There's a lot of work to do. But for now, all we need to focus on is one thing. The paradigm shift occurs at the moment the extraterrestrial presence is acknowledged by the world governments. Then we can go forward. Until that event happens, we're stuck. Now, in order to get that event happen, you need to apply the right amount of pressure at the right point at the right time. And that time is just after this next major election. The point is the office of the president-elect at the Senate office of the president-elect. And the pressure is not having to spend a fortune to go to Washington, D.C. and trot up and down the mall there and get wet and dirty and muddy. Which is, you know, the traditional way to voice, incredibly expensive to do, don't have to do it. We have a fully integrated, organized internet campaign underway that can, if people will just do it, put a million letters into this town between November the 5th and November the 15th, or at least put a lot of letters into this town, which would then lead to more exposure and ultimately, we hope, a million correspondences by the inauguration day on the 20th. That is more than enough to cement the deal and get disclosure.
Well said, Stephen Bassett. Hold on, we'll be right back. I'm Jerry Piven.
Hi, this is Rod C. Davis. I have a question. Do you love to travel? Then you need to check out YTB's weekly travel deals and steals. Just go to the Travel Store and More banner, click on the Business and Vacation Travel link, and then sign up for the Deals and Steals newsletter for great deals every week to America's favorite vacation spots. And while you're logged on, you can send flowers to that special person, buy your perfect car, buy tickets to attractions, book an exotic hunting or fishing trip, set up a honeymoon registry, and much more. Just click on the Extras link and take advantage of YTB's huge purchasing power that saves you money. And if you'd like to save a lot of money on your travel, then check out the Travel Business Opportunity link and find out how you could earn a commission each and every time that you book a trip. You can be sure that Travelocity, Orbitz, and Expedia won't do that. Click on the banner and bookmark the page for your future use. You can save money and make money at the same time. Check us out.
Stephen Bassett is our guest, and it's interesting, Stephen, that you mentioned the fact that 42 cents is all we have to do to get involved, and we could change the world if we got enough people there.
Absolutely. It's right there for us to do. It's not hard.
How did you come up with this idea?
I'm always thinking around. About how can we advocate? What more can we do? And I knew about the Carter thing, and I knew about the 10,000.
Speaking about presidents, it's hard to... for me to believe that these presidents would put up with people telling them it's none of their business.
They do. They do. You know, presidents don't have all the power a lot of people think they do.
Of course they don't.
And they come in and they're dealing with very deep, entrenched career people, particularly in military intelligence.
And one of those things in government, as you know, is the lag. We change ideology. But you've already had a different administration appointing people into bureaucratic positions for 10, 20 years.
Look, we have a loyal military. I certainly the military above ground, above black, is incredibly loyal and very honorable, and we've had no problems there. One of the great successes of the American trajectory has been the fact that we've had a loyal military and never had any serious risk of the military invading our politics. As you move into the black world, it becomes a little murkier, you know, quote-unquote. But I'm not saying these people are evil, and I'm sure they believe they're doing the right thing, but it's simply out of balance. It's out of whack. The Cold War was an incredibly expensive, extraordinary event. The ET presence turning up at the same time at the beginning in the 40s was enormously difficult to deal with. It's created all these imbalances, and things are just out of control. We need to bring things back under control, which means we need open government, transparent government, reform intelligence community. We need the truth to be absolutely predominant, no more in loco parentis government, where the government treats us as children. We need the people to act as adults if they don't want to be treated as children. Step up, step to the plate. If they want, increased health care, then act collectively and get it. If they want arms reduction, act collectively and get it. If they want to know the truth of the ET presence, act collectively and get it. All this is doable. We're still a free country by and large. We've got massive tools of networking, the internet, email, huge networking communities like Facebook. By the way, in addition to launching multiple press releases on October the 1st, plus contacting hundreds of sites for banner links, we launched a page on a group page on Facebook called Million Facts on Washington, and seeded dozens of other groups with links to it. And we're hoping to build a viral campaign within Facebook, where friends of friends of friends are getting tuned in to this. I'm also up on Twitter. Facebook alone has 100 million active users. By the way, the other thing is we're encouraging non-U.S. citizens outside the country to email or to send a letter. Absolutely. I'd love to see at least 100,000 come from outside the U.S. People outside the U.S. are going to be affected by the truth embargo and disclosure like everybody else, and they deserve to be heard as well. So I'm hoping that they will do that. And also, this is very important, in order to help me deal with the press here and make sure they're convinced that there's something going on, I need people, if they send a letter or a fax, to email PRG just with a quick note. Yeah, I sent my letter, sent my fax. If they send an email, then they just copy PRG, and it's PRG@ParadigmResearchGroup.org. Of course, all this information is up at the FactsOnWashington.org website. By sending me these notes or copying me, I then have the ammunition to deal with the press and say, look, you know, this stuff is coming. They say, well, how do you know? I say, well, I got 30,000 notices here. But these letters and faxes are on their way. So I hope people will do that. Email me a note that you have sent your letter, sent your fax, or copy me your email.
Okay, and let's go over this. We wait. They can write the letter now.
They can get their letter written up any time in October, by all means. You know, when you have a few minutes, just write it up. Put it aside.
And then as soon as we figure out who won.
As soon as we know, which hopefully we'll know by noon, probably on the 5th of November, then just address it to whichever candidate. Their senatorial address is right there at the website. Also, their fax page, I mean, their fax number, as well as the email page. You know, it's like an email address. It's an email page. You go to that and you fill it out. Now, the fax number is going to be jammed. It's going to be hard to get through, but if you try, you can get through.
Well,
obviously,
yeah,
a letter.
I think people need to spend 42 cents and, you know, have mailbags full, something physically they can touch.
The letter is, yeah. The letter, you know, somebody sends a letter, and then they send a fax and an email, too. Right, love that, right? That's great. Love it. But if they're just going to do one, a letter is far more powerful than the other two, all right? This gets their attention, and it will be opened, and it will be looked at, which is very significant as well. And
because as you said, there may be money in there.
Yeah, well, they have to open them up. They just have to. And in faxes, you know, there's only so many a fax machine can handle. Emails can be deleted. Hundreds of thousands can be deleted in a few minutes. Mail, on the other hand, has got to be opened. It's got to be looked at. It's got to be shelved. It's got to be dealt with. And if the press is there, they're not going to be able to shove them out the back door. I mean, the word's going to start getting around. It's going to be rumors all over the hill that this stuff is pouring in.
Well, I think it's important that they CC you.
Yeah.
So they know or email you and tell you they sent a letter.
Yeah. They don't have to copy me the whole letter, but they just say, look, I sent my letter to the president-elect on the disclosure. That's all I want to know. Right? Letter or fax. I need to know this. And I can go to the press and say, I got 30,000 notices of faxes and letters.
Can you handle a million emails?
Of course I can. I can, actually. Don't worry about that. This is the idea. It's pretty straightforward. It's not complicated.
Okay, we're about out of time. Let's go over that website again so they can go over and get the details.
The home base for the initiative is factsonwashington.com. I called it Facts on Washington because it has a nice ring to it, right? Like March on Washington, but it's really about letters, okay? The initiative is called Million Facts on Washington, which you can Google if you want to track the stuff that's being written about it. Just Google Million Facts on Washington.
Great.
The letters and faxes need to start going out on November the 5th. Prepare them in advance if you can, because we want to front load this. We want to get as many in early as possible. It'll either go to President-elect Obama or President-elect McCain, to their senatorial office, all that, again, at the website. And then when the actual transition office to the President-elect opens later in November, we'll then start directing the correspondence there.
And we'll be talking to you by then again.
Absolutely. We'll come in November. We'll see exactly how things are going.
Okay. Thanks very much, Stephen.
You're welcome.
Stephen Bassett, everyone. This is Jerry Pippin, and our producer and editor has been James Wortman. Until next time, cheers.